This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening. This is Inside Story with Sharmila Ganesan and Leechwee Lin. Tonight, unhappiness in Sabah over how Putrajaya is handling migration in the state.
So this comes as the Home Ministry is pushing a proposal for migrants to be issued Kad Warga Asing and critics saying that this isn't the right way to handle a fraught issue in Sabah. So first, we look at the issues at play and how the suggestion would affect things. And then we speak to Sandakan MP Vivian Wong about how this will be received on the ground. And finally, how all this fits into the conversation around illegal migration in Sabah.
Tell us, do you think this is the right way to go? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. It is 6:06, and the latest in a process that's taken quite a while and some twists and turns to get here. So Sabah leaders have expressed dissatisfaction with Putrajaya's continued push to issue identity cards or Kad Warga Asing to migrants and foreigners in Sabah. So amongst the reactions that we're getting, Datuk Yong Tek Lee, Deputy Chairman of Perikatan Nasional in Sabah, emphasized that the priority should perhaps be in deporting undocumented migrants and preventing new illegal entries. Meanwhile, Sabah Deputy Chief Minister Joachim Gunsalam agrees that dealing with illegal immigration should take precedence over the issuing of these cards.
So I think before we go on, right, we should say that this is an issue that, as we referenced earlier, is kind of a fraught one in the state. There are a variety of aspects happening here, whether it is, well, the difficulties in dealing with migration in the first place and the fact that traditionally it has been a little bit of a struggle. So there's that. There is the question of why now, why this in particular. And then of course, in the backdrop of it all, I think lingers Project IC, which is something that has come up a lot in conversation. So I just wanted to lay that out there because that is the backdrop, right, to the number of reactions that we're seeing.
So if we look at the reasoning behind all of this, right? Home Minister Datuk Sri Hamzah Zainuddin essentially defended the proposal, saying that the long-standing migrant issues in Sabah need new solutions. And that this card would essentially enable foreigners to work legally to send their children to school, but it doesn't mean that they would get citizenship or permanent residence. Meanwhile, Chief Minister Datuk Sri Hajiji Noor has said that this Kad Warga Asing and Kad Pekerja Warga Asing was suggested as a standard document for those who are already holding the IMM-13, the Sijil Banci, or the Kad Burung Burung. Once again, stressing that this doesn't mean that they're being given citizenship. You mentioned Project IC. I think the reason this keeps coming up is because of that looming fear, right? And that only foreigners working legally in Sabah would be issued these documents. Illegal immigrants would instead be deported. And the Chief Minister also highlighted the need for a proper database to record the presence of foreign workers in Sabah.
So the responses, therefore, have come from a variety of quarters. Deputy Chief Minister Jeffrey Kitingan said that foreigners should have valid documents issued by their countries of origin, that Malaysia shouldn't be responsible for this. Meanwhile, the Vice President of STAR, Stephen Teo, said that priority seems to be given to immigrants while there are still undocumented Sabah natives. And on a more holistic note, right, I think there is the... And perhaps in direct response to the Home Minister in terms of saying, well, we need new solutions, we are also hearing Wilfred Madias-Tangau basically pointing out that it, who is Tuaran MP, basically pointing out that it is important to look at the different categories of people that we are considering migrants in Sabah and the different solutions that would be required for each. So just for the purposes of our conversation, so everyone's on the same page, right? According to Tangau, the four categories are the continuous entry of undocumented migrants, the presence of refugees, the status of stateless persons, and people who acquired identity cards through, and I quote, suspicious means. So Parti Bersatu Sabah has also re-emphasized the need for a bipartisan committee to tackle this issue. There have been many committees aiming to tackle this issue. So I'm not sure. I think that this is just a very, very complex topic, and that the general sense seems to be that perhaps the Putrajaya approach is a bit of a blunt tool.
Yes, and that there are many other things that are that should take priority before this, right? And again, I think this all goes back to the fact that this is an issue that Sabah in particular has been contending with for a very long time, and has a sort of particular history with this and Putrajaya that frames a lot of this in a particular way. So we want to hear from you. We are talking about the fact that there's a lot of unhappiness in Sabah currently because Home Minister Hamza Zainuddin wants to go ahead with the plan to issue Kartwarga Asing to foreigners in the state. And so we'd like to hear from you. Do you think this is the right way to go? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be speaking with Dr. Firdausi Sufyan, who is Senior Lecturer in Public Policy at UITM Sabah. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
But films, man. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
It is 6:13. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. And today we're discussing Sabah, essentially unhappiness in Sabah as Home Minister Hamza Zainuddin wants to go ahead with issuing identity cards, the Kartwarga Asing specifically for migrants in the state. We would like to hear from you. Do you think this is the right way to go? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, helping us understand this more is Dr. Firdausi Sufyan, Senior Lecturer in Public Policy at UITM Sabah. Firdausi, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for inviting me as well. Sharmila and Lynn, how are you guys doing?
We're good, thank you. Now, can you walk us through the issues around migrant entry in Sabah that has prompted this proposal?
Well, if you look at migrant issue, it's nothing new. First of all, in Sabah, it has been a perennial problem, I think, ever since the 1970s until now. So can you see how long is that? And of course, if you look at foreigner, just to walk through you, so it's very important to Sabah economy, to be exact, because when it comes to human resources, Sabah depends a lot on the foreigner by and large. Right? So if you look at the proximity to Indonesia and Philippines, where Sabah, the proximity of these two states, of course, this make it easier for the foreigner to enter our state, right? And obviously, the porous border make it sometimes difficult to control the border. So as we speak now, you see, based on the existing data, that it's not really conclusive. So we have 3.8 million Sabah, and close to one third is foreigner. And of course, we don't have the exact number now, especially for the undocumented one. It is undocumented. Of course, you don't know where they are, right? So we, since we don't know how many foreigners or even the documented one, so that is why we need some sort of cleaning up, especially the number of people that residing in Sabah. So with that special card, actually, it helps to know how many actually are those who have been residing in Sabah. And like you said just now, you have explained that. So all these special card, they call it, right? So are given to a foreigner, but this does not mean that they will resort to citizenship. Well, you also mentioned just now, you know, we have very unique document here in the Sabah. We have the IMM-13 and then Sigil Banci or Census Cert. Another one is a unique name. They call it Sigil Burung Burung. This one is originated from, you know, back in the 80s. They call it the Kad Jabatan Ketua Menteri. But since the certificate have a burung logo, bird's logo, so they call it Sijil Burung Burung, right? So all this, imagine the size of A4 or A5, right? So if you are the holder of this document, so imagine you've been here since like 20 or 30 years ago. So I think you're not gonna, I mean, you'll be holding that A4 size paper, you go everywhere, and then you have to keep it in your pocket. Right. So I guess if you look at this special card, and then before this, they were talking about the one that they call it Sabah Temporary Pass, actually is the same feature, actually the same characteristic, is to give certain identification, right, for foreigner that been residing for a very long time in Sabah that do not have any document. And when they do have document like IM-13, Sijil Banci, Sijil Burung Burung, but just imagine this size of this paper is A4. So if you give them a card like our card, right? So I think it's okay, right? And then plus, since this, because this is a bit of a legacy, a policy legacy issue, because IM-13, Sijil Banci and Sijil Burung Burung, all because immigration is under the state purview. So immigration is where you allow people to enter the country, right? So back then, they allowed these people to enter the country, of course, because due to civil war and other considerations, so they allowed them to enter the state. So that's why they issue all this very unique document. So now, when we want to give them, I think it's okay for them to have some sort of identification, right? So at least, number one, you have a database. You know how many people actually residing in this state, because currently, sometimes, I mean, there are some reports says that, you know, we have 69,000 people, foreigner, without any document. And then sometimes the number changes. So we don't know. So we need a full stop. And the best way is to have a document.
I just wanted a bit more clarity on the point that you were raising about the variety of documents available, right? Because I think that this is something that for those of us who don't live in Sabah, we're perhaps less familiar with it. So, you know, in day-to-day life, how often are these documents actually brought out or used or seen or talked about?
Oh, I've seen one. I used to have a maid, and my maid is a whole Sijil Burung Burung. It's kind of A4 size. So usually if they want to prove that, you know, they're allowed to stay in the state, so usually they just give that Sijil Burung Burung. But they don't issue this anymore. It's no longer issued. I think they stopped issuing it 20 years ago. So no more. It's like, I think 1990s, if not mistaken, they don't issue this anymore. So that's how it is. So just imagine if you have this IMM-13, Sijil Banci or Sijil Burung Burung, right? I think what they're trying to do from the immigration point of view is more on the practical aspect of it. To have an identification card, all right, you have this card, so you can put in your... this is what I look at it, because my conversation with the immigration officer, they were saying that it's good to have some sort of documentation. It's easier for them, for us to identify where are you from. So just imagine, certain people have been staying in this country, all right? Some ministers say that you have to deport them back. Deporting, and also those who have been staying here for a very long time and do not have any some sort of document, it's a two different issues. Because those who are, you want to deport them, usually the one that, you know, overstay or might probably do not overstay or might probably... you know, their working visa have expired. It's fine to deport that. I think immigration have been doing it for, I mean, every 3 months, if I'm not mistaken. Now, for those who have been staying here, yes, they are migrant, all right? But they are born here. So if you want to deport them back, where they want to go? Say, assuming they are from, say, from Philippines, you can tell from the accent, right? But which part of Philippines? If you give to the, if you deport them back, where? See, so these are some of the issue actually a dilemma for most policymaker. But in the end of the day, whether this foreigner, I mean, whether they are, I mean, those who are illegal, obviously, I mean, their working visa expired, yes, you have to deport them, and also the overstay one. But now the question, especially those who have been staying here for a very long time, they could be refugees, you know, during the 70s and 80s, because of their civil war, so they come here in southern Philippines, and then they've been residing here for a very long time and contributing to the economy too. So it's good to have some sort of document. At least, you know, we know that, okay, you are not Sabahan, you are foreigner. Okay, we know, right? But see, When it comes to immigration, foreigner in Sabah is very sensitive, and it's always become a political sensationalization, right? People always sensationalize it because it's always a good political narrative to throw, and then, you know, to get some attention, right? But the way how they package is always like this. You give document, this is how they package it, yeah? They give document, citizenship, you will grant citizenship, and then, like you said, Project IC, then therefore become a ghost voter. But nobody actually have proven all this, even though we have that, we have this RCI last time. But there is no conclusive evidence show that, yes, there are some Project IC which they try to implicate the former Prime Minister, Tun Dr. Mahathir. But ghost voters and then granting citizenship, but all this actually, I mean, granting citizenship, our country, I mean, we do allow that, right? If, you know, to a proper way. Of course, it's always the question, the manner, how you grant citizenship always in question. But that one is a different topic, how you want to do that, right? But this is always what happened. Every time when you throw the issue or you want to give some sort of document in Sabah, a document for foreigner, all right, They didn't do. I mean, they are contributed to the economy, all right. And Sabahan know, especially those in business, in agriculture, in agriculture, business, retail. They all depend on the foreigner, all right. But yet, when it comes to giving document, we always try to discriminate. And we always try to link all these very loose dots and try to show that it's a no-no. But in the end of the day, you need some sort of database and record. Where are these foreigners? How many of them? Right? So this is the problem that we have in Sabah, which is sometimes it's unfair for the migrant. It's quite pity for them. All right. On one hand, it's imperative. On the other hand, you talk about so-called social justice by politicians. You know, you have to deport them back. They're taking over the job. They're taking over the job. Look at them. They continue to contribute crime and all that. All these are not proven, to be honest. Right. So now I think obviously when we talk about this special card, or before this was known as PSS, yeah, Sabah Temporary Pass. So just look at that, the PSS is the same feature with special card. But because it was politicized, right, then the Warisan government is, okay, we're not going to continue, we're just going to keep quiet because they lost one of the by-election because of PSS. People use that, keep on saying, you know, Warisan tried to bring in more foreigner, you know, and then actually the citizen actually buy it, right? But it's not fair. It's not fair for the migrant, actually, especially those who are not, especially those, you know, holding IM-13, Sijil Burung Burung, and also Sijil Banci.
In terms of the actual mechanics of rolling out this card, Warga Asing, are there going to be potential challenges?
Of course, there will be challenges, especially, it will come from the politician. If you look at the local newspaper, I think since when Datuk Seri Hamzah was talking about this, all right, has been in the front page for quite a while. Right? So politicians from every parties actually talk about this, right? So they say that, look, like Madhus Tanga was saying that, you know, there are a few categories which you have to look at. Okay, fair enough. Okay, and then the former chief minister who is responsible giving the Sijil Burung Burung, right, Tansri Haris Saleh, was saying that you need a referendum. That's big. And then the former chief minister, Tansri Joseph Parin Kitingan, was saying that we should recollect all the identification card from every Sabahan and reissue identification card. I don't know how practical is that. But, and then, you know, of course, Jeffrey Kitingan, yeah? So it's just Jeffrey Kitingan said you have to deport back. And so many politicians actually taking this opportunity to write on all... giving document to the migrant. Now, all this actually will create, all this political narrative actually become, actually will be very, will become very sensitive to citizens, Sabahan citizen. Right? So once it become very sensitive, so you will have a resistance from the public at large, whether or not to give. But when it comes to administration, administrative perspective, right? This is the way to give. This is the way how we want to identify and get the number, how many actually, right? But because of all this political sensationalization and then they keep on saying it, and even until today, right? So it will become very political and sensitive. So people are afraid to do that, just like what happened to PSS, right? And then I think this issue, special card, if politicians continue to play this issue, I mind you, they will definitely use this in the next election. This one, this agenda, again, they will kill the agenda again to register foreigner and giving special card to the foreigner.
Firdausi, thanks for speaking with us today.
All right. Thank you.
That was Dr. Firdausi Sufian, Senior Lecturer in Public Policy at UITM Sabah, weighing in on, well, really, the move by Putrajaya and Home Minister Datuk Sri Hamzah Zainuddin to issue Kad Warga Asing to migrants in the state, something that's proving to be unpopular in among Sabahans, or more specifically, Sabah politicians. Let us know, do you think this is the right way to go? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Banish fraudulent maneuvers, BFM 89.9.
It is 6:36, 6:37 really, and you're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. And today we're talking about a push by Putrajaya to issue Kad Warga Asing to migrants in Sabah, and unhappiness from many politicians there in terms of this initiative, and essentially highlighting that there are other issues that they'd rather see handled. We would like to hear from you. Do you think this is the right way to go on the matter? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, to hear the sentiment on the ground, we are now joined by Vivian Wong, Member of Parliament for Sandakan. Vivian, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, good evening, Sharmila. Yeah, hi. Thank you for having me today. It's my first time on BFM. Thank you, Karin.
Thanks for joining us. Where do you personally stand on the issue?
I actually, to be honest, for this issue, I've actually raised every time in Parliament, because Sandakan actually faces the quite a serious damage in terms of having a lot of PTI, undocumented and stateless. So whenever our Home Minister, he announces something, definitely I will also hop on, not only the current Home Minister, but the previous, which is our Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin. He also announced about the PSS, which I've also heard from the lecturer that he shared just now. So even during PH time, I also queried the same thing, because what the Sabahan wants is actually transparency. So what is included in the identity card that the government is giving out? So because we have trust issues, to be honest, with politicians, even myself, I do feel like, you know, we use a lot of time to actually explain to the people. So we actually are the mediator for the rakyat and for the citizens that we are accountable on. So what we want is actually more details. So for example, every time our Home Minister, he announces something, it is just actually like, you know, from the slip of his mouth. So for example, sometimes if you refer back to the I think 1 year ago was last year that he announced that IMM13 is going to be the only card, you know, only identity for all the illegal immigrants or, you know, whatsoever. So we actually asked him, why are you using IMM13, which is a refugee card that was given out 30 years ago and already stopped giving out at year 2009, and now you're using it as the sole identity card for this group of people? So who is getting them? So there's a lot of questions. So even during PSS, which was PH time, I also asked the same question. What is included in this identity card? Definitely, I know voting is definitely a no-no, because we are not giving out citizenship. The government only says that, but we needed more detail. Sabahans needed more detail. do the children, for my side, I actually focus on stateless children a lot. So whenever identity card is given, our children is, but this group of stateless children is not included in the package. So it doesn't solve the problem at all because they are unable to go to school, they are unable to get medical facilities. So it is actually the cycle is going on, the third generation or the fourth now. So it's coming the fifth because, you know, sometimes because without the right civil education, they do actually get married very soon, early, and then, yeah. Something like that. So what we actually want is, how is this card going to be administered? There is a lot of, for when I go to the ground about this issue, we the Sabah has a lot of trust issues, but we know that this is an issue that we need to tackle. So even I also challenge our home minister, say, if this is your political view, please do something about it and come up with a very comprehensive a very comprehensive proposal, and we all 222 MPs, member of parliament, needs to be there to discuss. I know there's a lot of Jawatan Kuasa formed since many years ago, I think, because this has been a long overdue issue that we need to face. So come have a town hall with us, member of parliament, so that we can speak for the government to the people and not just issue a statement. And we only gotten to know about this idea via news. So it is actually, we are not even informed. So as the people's representative, definitely they will ask for answers, look for answers from us. But for the ground, they actually wanted this group of undocumented people or a stateless group to be able to work, because we needed workforce, especially in Sandakan. We have a lot of oil palm. We have oil palm field, and we do not have enough manpower. So are the ministries working with each other that the workforce is, we're going to get the workforce from this group of people that has been residing in Sabah for more than 30, 40, 50 years, but without an identity. So when they do not have an identity, they are unable to go to do anything. They are just, you know, they are actually going to be suppressed, even though they have that they can actually contribute to the state. So I think it is back to the government that I think our minister really needs to come up with details. And does he even know the amount of foreigners that he's going to give out this identity card to? So when he announced this without closing the loophole or the loopholes enabling the party PTI to come over, are we going to encourage more to come over and just throw the identity? I'll just go to Sabah now because they are going to give an identity card. Come now and then you will be given. So it is, you cannot just announce this without any backup plan. Without, you know, I believe that there's a lot, we call it lubang tikus, you know, lubang tikus, that I can myself already heard. Oh, how come we know that there's this lubang tikus and the government is not doing anything? Oh, because the sea is too wide. You can take the boat from here, from there, from here and there. Okay, then so how about we put CCTV? Or the government doesn't have enough money for CCTV to monitor whether there are any illegal ships. So it's like, okay, so if we are giving out this identity card to people that isn't without a thumbprint, so are we going to create a massive group of people coming? By night, maybe every night, there's going to be 10 ships coming into Sandakan because they go, there's this sort of identity card. So it's going to be an people will take opportunity if we do not have a very solid plan for it. Ministers needs to work with each other. It is not about just a home ministry, but it's actually it's with the state government. If the state government is also not informed, even the police, the marine police, because even in Sabah, I think there's a lot of different authorities that is guarding the sea. You know, there's some on the shore and some out of the sea. And then there's so many different, even when we have emergency, I do find it difficult to find which authority. Okay, this one is, I do not know how to measure the sea, but it's just that it's not how many kilometers away from the shore, it is another ministry, another team that is monitoring. So that's why it is quite confusing for the people, for the world. And it's also, that's why the illegal immigrants take opportunity of this. So from my point of view, I do think that IMM13 is is some sort of identity. So this group of people, if you are giving them a different identity, I mean, not legalizing, but a stay, a work pass or stay, you have to get a job in order to stay in Sabah. It is something I need them to do is that you are able to find your money, you're able to work, and government is able to tax you. That's the something that we, because when we receive tax, then you can use the medical facilities. Because when my father, or no, my late father was the Minister of Health and Wellbeing of Sabah, he actually told me the amount of undocumented or party using the hospital facilities and unable to pay, and they just run away at nighttime because the charges is very expensive. And this caused our government to lose a lot of money just to pay up for the medical bills for undocumented or for the illegals. So especially during COVID time, I was so worried that they know that they are sick, but they are not able to afford to go to the hospital. So what do? They try to do their home remedy and heal themselves. But COVID is not something that you can heal yourself. You need proper isolation. If you are in stage 3 and 4, the spread level is very high. You need to know the proper way. So it's like a time bomb. And a lot of squatters areas are being formed. So, and then also because I also myself, why do I query this idea is because this our home minister has announced not just once, but second time, and actually it could be the third time already that he's going to do something, and with an identity card. So how different it is with PSS, we need information, we need more, we need transparency. So that, and then also we have to have a town hall with all the stakeholders, and also our member of IMLS needs to have get the right information and the enough information regarding this issue.
Vivian, we have just about a couple of minutes left with you. I did want to ask, right, you mentioned the need for more details, right, in this plan. So moving forward then, now that we know that the Home Minister has said, you know, this is still the approach they want to take, what do you actually want to hear from the federal government, right, in terms of the details and the actual, you know, what it's going to contain?
Yes, okay. For myself, it's actually who is going to be giving out this identity card, because I do believe that because there are gonna be people abusing this power, that now different agencies will be set up, another new agency will be set up to give out this identity card. So, and then actually sometimes this group of undocumented or stateless people, they are the vulnerable group where they actually being conned quite a few times just to get a pass that they do not know whether it's real or not. Sometimes we actually receive quite a few, like, what is this identity? I myself, first time I came over this pass, working pass, but it's like it's issued by a company. So actually, this could be fake companies, but they are actually taking granted of this vulnerable group that is residing in Sabah. So who is going to give up this identity card? And what are the terms and conditions to have this identity card? Are we able to retract this identity card if they do something wrong, they commit a crime? And then because our you know, Rumah Merah, we call it, the detention center is packed of full of people, and the amount of money, taxpayers' money used on this Rumah Merah is actually millions and millions. So are we able to, what they do is, how do you identify this group? And also the things that they're going to get. For myself, it's just what they're going to get. Something that now they are not, able to buy houses because we are lack of houses. No, definitely this group of people, they are not able to buy houses that belong to Sabah. Because this was something that was raised by the Sabahans. They said, okay, now we do not have enough houses. So where are they going to live? Squatters area is everywhere in Sandakan. So are we going to build houses for them? Are there going to be proper squatter area for this group of people? Because we are talking about 100,000s of people. There's actually hundreds of thousands of parties in Sabah, not just Sandakan. And even stateless children, there are, I think, is quite countless. So have a town of us and let us able to ask questions for them, for this, all these question marks that we all have. And then for that, you know, YB Majus has also raised, and are we going to able to close the loophole, so stop people from flooding Sabah before we can really give out this identity? Yeah, and then, but actually, the Home Minister can actually use my suggestion at the time, because they were given the vaccine, right? Use all this data to link together. Is there all the ministries are working with each other? Is there something I'm very, very concerned of? It cannot be a solo, you know, solo ministry. I want to be a hero. I'm going to give out this. But there is actually quite a lot of things that we need to consider, and especially security as well. Security, not giving to anybody, but the ones that has been residing for many, many, many years. But how do we determine? We do not know.
Vivian, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
You too. That was Vivian Wong, Member of Parliament for Sandakan, weighing in with a perspective from the ground on this. After this, we'll be joined by Dr. Vilashini Somaya, who is an anthropologist and senior lecturer with University Malaya, to close off our conversation. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Beyond Fulfilling Manifesto, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
It is 6:51. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. And we're closing off our conversation about the plan to issue Warga Asing cards to migrants in Sabah and the unhappiness about it in the Sabah state. We'd like to hear from you whether you think this is the right move from Putrajaya. Do weigh in. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We're closing off our conversation by looking at this issue of illegal migration in the state in general. And joining us for that is Dr. Vilashini Somaya, anthropologist and senior lecturer at University Malaya. Vila, thanks for speaking with us again.
Hi, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
So how large a problem is illegal migration in Sabah and how far back does it stretch?
Well, to sort of put it bluntly, it is a huge, huge issue in Sabah, mainly because I think when you do talk about the migrant issue or the illegal migration issue, it bleeds into larger socio-political issues that are also happening simultaneously in Sabah, right? I mean, the fight for indigenous rights, for example, you know, this issue with, it's a human rights issue, of course, on all levels, leading up to the kind of available jobs that are made available in Sabah for Sabahans or for other residents in Sabah as well. And so, you know, we tend to discuss illegal migration alongside this issue of job availabilities, right? Resources or thinning resources that need to be available for both official populations and non-official populations. And the thing is, I think when we do talk about the illegal, or in the work that I do, I call it irregular migration or illicit migration, is that officially it dates back to as early as the 1970s due to unrest that was happening in parts of southern Philippines. However, unofficially, we are looking at a space where, you know, informal sort of like very colloquialized movements and mobility between that part of the world and Sabah have been happening for generations. So I think this is why it's a bit tricky, because we want to sort of formalize the issue. We want to have, you know, specific dates and numbers, but it's very difficult to do that because you also have a sense of movements between these spaces that are not necessarily dated.
So we've been talking quite a bit right throughout the hour about the fact that there have been various committees set up. This is something that has made its way into Parliament a lot. This is not the first initiative that we've heard to try to address this. I did want to know, though, I mean, if we think about all the various attempts in the past to kind of try to you know, take on this issue, where does this current proposal fit into all of that?
Well, you know, at the moment, the most official sort of policy in place for migrants or irregular migrants or illegal migrants in Sabah is still repatriation, right? We spend a lot of taxpayers' money on detaining, migration raids that run throughout Sabah and deporting them. Right. And so we're given this idea that a lot of these sort of push for, migrants to be sent back, and then, you know, our operative word here is used, back home to where they came from, is that it's a one way street and that they will return illicitly. So at the moment, we sort of see these things as, you know, putting a lot of emphasis on repatriation, the entire repatriation system. But when we do talk about, proposals such as this one, the one that we are discussing at this moment, on creating a kind of how do I say, documentation for the migrant population in Sabah. I think many different leaders have entertained these ideas. And when I say leaders, I mean both state and federal, right? It has been entertained throughout the decades. It started, occasionally it'll go between the federal and then the state, depending also on the political leaning at that moment. So it's not a new idea. It's nothing novel about it. It has, but it's been met with a lot of pushback. It's been met with a lot of resistance on the ground. And I think that's why, you know, skirting around the issue has always been not essentially formalizing any of these ideas for, I guess, documentation in that way. But I'm not against this particular idea simply because it, the major problem that we have with the illegal migration issue in Sabah is that we have a lot of very good ideas of what the numbers may look like, but we are still generally data blind.
We have about 2 minutes left. There is, as you said, a lot of resistance to this idea. How has Sabah's past experiences with things like Project IC framed and informed these reactions?
Well, you know, in a nutshell, in 2 minutes is a little bit hard to do. But in a nutshell, Project IC was the, there's the accusation that the federal government of that time in the 80s and 90s began the systematic offering of citizenship without consent of, say, the state government or Sabahans, right? So it was believed that there were very strong socio-political reasons to do that, right? And those reasons can be read online. I've written books and lots of stuff on it, and many other scholars have as well. And I think this fear, this anxiety that when you do that, you mess with the indigenous population of the state. So, you know, this fear is not, you know, it's not unfounded. This is a real anxiety that exists till today. And this anxiety will continue to exist if, you know, no real negotiation, I think, is done with the state. But at the same time, I also understand you cannot continue without coming up or assuring a much stabler, sustainable policy in place. And so I guess this is where we're left with at the moment.
I'm sorry to keep giving you timestamps, but we have about 30 seconds. Would you like to leave us with a final message?
I think, you know, the general issue here is that I can't quite say, I mean, at this moment, it's just an assumption. But the reason that the Home Ministry may be coming up with this right now has been accused to be, you know, because he's either faced with external pressures because it is a human rights issue or internal ones because, I don't know, politics, right, in Malaysia and the elections. But I think whatever it is, a lot of it has to stem from an issue of, it has to be humane. The issue is that this problem with illegal migration rests heavily on everybody's humanity. And eventually that has to take precedence when we do figure out how to fix things.
Mila, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you so much. Take care, guys.
That was Dr. Vilashini Somaiah, anthropologist and senior lecturer from University of Malaya, weighing in on the issue of illegal migration in Sabah and the struggles that the state continues to face with it. Let us know. We are talking about this, of course, because of the push from Putrajaya to provide Kadwarga Asing to migrants in the state. Do you think this is the right way to go? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.